Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18. Matthew 8 and verse 18. While you're turning there, it is good to have Carlos Salazar home from Guatemala. And, well, I don't know if that's home. I think this is home, right, Carlos? But anyway, Carlos, of course, came home for the wedding, and he's helping the Wilders there in Guatemala, correct? And they're just doing very, very well. I'm proud of Carlos and appreciate him serving the Lord there and being a blessing there to the Wilders, and praise the Lord for that. Glad he was able to come. When do you go back, Carlos?
Thursday morning.
Thursday, all right. So pray for him, and they are expecting another baby. December what?
23rd.
Good timing. All right, praise the Lord. We've had a lot of action this week with the wedding, and it's been exciting. On I don't remember what day it was now when the wind blew. When did the wind blow?
Monday.
So I told everybody Wednesday night. Of course, a lot of folks are not in here, but I told folks Wednesday night that when the wind blew, I think we had some 60 mile an hour gusts, and a couple of girls came over from the school, and they said, "Pastor, did you see the roof?" I said, "What do you mean, did I see the roof?" And the office wing roof had somehow broken loose from on the edge and was flapping. And so Tim got out there and videoed that. If you want to see a real exciting video, you can look at Tim's video for $20 each look. No, but well, we got to pay for it something. But anyway, and literally the roof had broken loose. The whole south, I mean, almost the whole stretch, it was flapped over. And according to the roofer, if it hadn't been for the corner there by the offices, it was tied down pretty good there. He said it could have easily peeled right off, which would be exciting. But anyway, so that was exciting. We got the roofer here. They did put it down. They have to check for any damage or anything. And of course, we could have found out if it rained harder, if there was any damage. But anyway, so Dale immediately found all the buckets just in case with a wedding and everything else going on. We had to kind of make sure we were ready for that. And so all that has been going on. Be praying about that. We do need them to get up there and inspect that, make sure it is right. Insurance company's already been called, and they will have some extra expense there. But anyway, God's good. He's always good. And then we had excitement today with a bat in the church. We had here's this little teeny bat. Took three men. Isn't that amazing? I'm not going to mention any of their names, especially Mike Poor. But anyway, they did get the bat out of the church and put it in the front yard. Anyway. So the bat, and then you need to talk to Sheila Click as of now. But Sheila has a story to tell you about a cat. And immediately when the bat was in the church, I immediately thought about that song that the blues sung to me, you know, about the cat came back. And I was thinking the bat came back the very next day. But anyway, it's been exciting. But anyway, you talk to Sheila about it. She'd love to tell you that story. No? All right. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's been a great week and a lot of things. Beautiful wedding yesterday, and then the amazing thing, we all that gets torn down. It looks like one thing one day, and then next day it looks like something else, and we just keep using it, and the old building just keeps being used for God. And that amazes me. It should amaze you when you dedicate something to the Lord. And you know, this building was built in the 60s, and you think of all the lives that have been changed, all the people saved, how many times this building's been used. And I like to hear the old stories. Debbie tells some good stories about tricycling on what this used to be a roof right here when they were in the fellowship hall, and they'd ride, wasn't it tricycles around?
Bicycles and wagons.
Yeah, isn't that something? And the time they put sawdust on top to try to insulate, and then it rained on the sawdust, and it was not a good idea. And, yeah, it's funny, the ideas you come up with, you say, boy, this is a great idea. That wasn't a good idea. And we've been there many times, but God is so good. He's so good to us, and it's just been a great, great week. Matthew 8 And verse 18, I like this passage. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. I want to talk to you about these words in verse 19. Master, I will follow thee. Father, please bless the preaching tonight. I do thank you for the beautiful music tonight, and really it all seems to tie together so well. And I pray that it will help us now to concentrate on the Word of God these next few minutes. And please speak to our hearts and give us what we need tonight from thy Word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This scribe, in my mind at least, I think maybe he saw the leper healed in verses 1 through 3, where Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus put forth his hand, verse 3, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When you read the Bible, don't take things for granted. That's an amazing miracle when this man is healed. And maybe the scribe was there. Maybe he saw that take place. Maybe he saw the centurion's servant healed, verses 5 through 13, and another amazing, amazing miracle. Never take for granted the power of God. Never take for granted a story in the Bible where something is recorded. Here's a man that has authority over many people. He has soldiers and everything, and he needs Jesus to do a miracle. And Jesus heals this centurion servant. I think maybe the scribe, perhaps from a little distance, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but I think he saw that centurion servant healed. I think he saw Peter's mother-in-law healed, perhaps. In verse 14, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, verse 15, and he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Maybe he heard about that. Maybe he was looking in a window. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but it's possible that this scribe saw this miracle take place. And then, of course, there was a demon-possessed person in verses 16 and 17. And in fact, there were many, the Bible says, that were possessed with devils. The Bible says he cast out the spirits with his word. By the way, you're not going to do anything for God except it be by the Word of God. Amen? We must use the Word of God. And the Bible says he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And in my mind, I think that scribe maybe saw these things take place. And it really got his attention. And now, according to verse 18, it was time to cross the sea and go to the other side. Verse 18, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And then it says, and so now Jesus is about to go away from where they were, cross the sea. And this scribe jumps out and just out of the blue, a certain scribe came and he said unto him, Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He said, I want to go. Now, a scribe, that was kind of an odd thing for a scribe. You know, the scribes, they're in trouble a lot in the Bible. Oh, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And scribes got in a lot of trouble. And it's kind of a strange thing. A scribe, of course, in that day was a student of the law or a lawyer, not a governmental kind of law like we would think of a lawyer today, but the law, the Word of God, the Old Testament law. And this scribe would know the Old Testament law. And by the way, if he's a true student of the law, he would eventually realize, I can't keep this law. There is no way. By the way, if you would become a true student of the law, you'll find out you can't keep the law. You'll find out you fall short probably every day in keeping the law. It is your flesh can't handle it. Just can't do it. And it will remind you over and over and over again how it's according to his mercy that he saved us. I mean, the more I realize the law and the more I read the Word of God, the more I realize I am saved totally by grace through faith. It is of his mercy completely. It is of his grace. I could never save myself. It would do all of us good to really come to grips with the fact you could not save yourself, you can't keep yourself, and we're totally at the mercy of God. Praise God for that. Well, anyway, this man is a scribe, so he would know the law, and he would be a student of the law. And the Bible doesn't say whether he ever did or did not come to grips with the fact that he had to be saved and he had to trust in Christ. The Bible doesn't say. Most believe, in fact, that this man, he maybe saw everything. And again, I'm going by what the commentaries say. It is very possible that this man saw all these miracles and thought, wow, this is something. This is special. And he was all excited about it. And then when Jesus said, verse 20, most commentators think this man left. Because Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he maybe, they kind of speculate that he thought about himself laying out on the ground somewhere, and he didn't like that very much. Now, the Bible doesn't say. I don't know. The man said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So I don't know what he did. The Bible doesn't say what he did. But I like what he said. I like what he said. I think every one of us ought to say that. Master, I will follow thee. Master, I will follow thee. And to say it is one thing, but then he said it. I don't know what he did. Maybe he did. I don't know. But our story's not all told yet. And it would start with saying it and having it in our heart. I will follow thee. Then the next thing would be, I am following thee. And then the third thing would be, I did. I did follow the Lord. I followed him. I want to talk to you about Master, I will follow thee. Number one, it's a personal declaration. It's a personal declaration. He calls him Master. Now, Master here is often used as the word teacher, yet in Luke 9, this same story, he's called Lord. And so when I think of Master here, I'm thinking of Lord. I'm thinking of the one he is recognizing, personally recognizing who Jesus is. I think he knows Jesus is special. I think he knows, yes, he is Master. Yes, he is Lord. The question tonight, is he your Master? Is he your Lord? You see, it all starts here. To follow him, to be able to say the rest of this, I'll follow thee, is you need to recognize that he's the Master. Is he your Master? You need to recognize that he's the Lord. Is he your Lord? I mean, what does it take to stop you from following him? Does it take a setback, something you didn't like? Does it take a little bit of a problem that comes into your life? Does it take, well, he's climbing up a mountain. I don't think I, or you just say, I'll follow you wherever you go, God. To whatever you say, God, you're the Lord, you're the Master. Does it just take some little bit of discomfort and all of a sudden we're not following him anymore? What's it take to slow us down? What's it take to stop us? You see, we have to know that he's the Master. But beyond knowing it then, we have to believe it in our hearts. He is the Master. I'm going to tell you, many, many, many times it's been at a place where it would have been easy to stop. But he's the Master. And if he says go, whether I want to stop or not, doesn't matter. I got to go. Why? Because I'm following him. He's the Master. And so we have to know it. We have to believe it. And then we have to surrender and say, you are the Master. You are the Lord. Now, it's interesting. He says, Master, I will follow thee. And it reminds me of Peter in Acts chapter 10. Let's look at it real quick. Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. And you know the story here. Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, Peter is going to learn a very, very important lesson. Again, what a blessing that God shows us when somebody learns a lesson. Maybe we could learn a lesson as well. On the morrow, Acts chapter 10 and verse 9, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry. Typical Baptist preacher. And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Well, obviously, that was the Lord. Now, again, he's in a trance. He's in a dream. He's already hungry. His guts are growling. But now this voice says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Watch what Peter says, one of the great, I'll think of it in a minute. He says a contradiction. Here's one of the great contradictions right here. Peter said, not so, Lord. Now, could I submit to you, you can't say that. You can't tell God no and call him Lord. You can't do that. You cannot, when God gives a command, you cannot tell him, I'm not going to obey it, Lord. Because by calling him Lord, you're saying, I will obey. It's a contradiction. And it's an amazing story. Now, Peter's got a lot to learn, amen? You and I have a lot to learn too, don't we? I mean, we have a lot to learn. It's not like we've got all this figured out here. And Peter says, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, Peter's hungry. And God said, go ahead, kill and eat. Now, again, it's a trance. But in his dream, in his trance, he says, no, Lord. Well, that's a contradiction. It's interesting. Verse 15. The voice spake unto him again. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that it doesn't just end there? I sure am. Boy, how many times have I said, no, Lord? Do you understand a fellow named Uzzah disobeyed God and he died? Ananias and Sapphira lied and they died. Isn't it something? Sometimes the voice speaks unto us a second time. Why? Because the goal is to get you to follow. The goal is, Peter, trust me. I'm telling you to do this. Oh, but I've never done. No, trust me. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed. Oh, now this is different. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Then verse 16. This was done thrice. Isn't that wonderful? Three times. Aren't you glad that when God says do this, and sometimes we're just not there yet. He doesn't just crush us. We deserve it. Not so, Lord. No, Lord. What kind of thing is that? It's a contradiction. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now watch what it says, verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And again, this is all about reaching the Gentiles with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. And God is commanding, and he just had to get it. But in verse 17, it says he doubted. But notice verse 18. And he called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with him. Watch what he says. Doubting nothing. I'm going to tell you, this thing about Jesus being Lord, this thing about him being your master, you need to believe that he is the Lord. He is the master. You need to surrender to that and doubt nothing. So when he says, do this, there is no, not so, Lord. We just do it. Or when he says, don't do this, there's not, oh, well, I'm going to do my own thing, Lord. It's just we trust him. We believe him. We doubt nothing. And when Peter doubted nothing, then he obeyed. We must make this personal declaration in our heart. He is my master. Most Christians don't have a clue what that's about. Honestly, I'm convinced of that. We hear it. We've heard it. We've talked about it. Oh, man, a lot of preaching about that when we were teenagers. Boy, we heard it all the time. Surrender your... But yet, we as adults, it's like, oh, well, you know, we know that's who he is. But is he? Is he really? Do you run everything by him? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. What have you done this week that you didn't ask him whether you ought to do it or not? Come on. I mean, the big Friday came, right? Well, now it's Thursday night. It won't be long. It'll be the whole week. What are they going to do? Black week, right? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, how many deals did you get and you didn't ask him? Come on, I'm serious. How many things happened you didn't ask him? I got things I'm wrestling over right now that I thought, I just keep asking him. God, are you sure about this? Are you sure about God? Do you want, you know? And I want to make sure. I is it okay if I do this, God? Father, do you care? Is this okay? You say, why does it matter? Well, is he Lord or not? Is he the master or not? Is he your master? It's a personal declaration. Master, I will follow thee. Master, you're the master. It's up to me to follow you. Number two, it's a positive decision. A positive, I will follow thee. Once I know he's the master, I will follow thee. Once I know he's the Lord, I will follow thee. Once I know he knows what he's doing, hey, if he's the master, if he's the Lord, he knows what he's doing, I will follow thee. It's honestly, it's like salvation. Once I knew what I had to do to be saved, once I knew that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, once I knew that he'll save me, you know what? I said, I will get saved. I will call upon Jesus, and I did call upon Jesus. It's like when Eliezer came to get a bride for Isaac, and he found Rebecca and talked to Rebecca and showed her, told her all about Isaac, and Eliezer told all about all that Isaac had and all his land and all these things. And boy, I'll tell you what, he made Isaac look like a pretty good fella. And it all came down to this. It came down to, will you? And she said, I will. Hey, when I got saved, I said, I will. Well, Colossians 2 verse 6 says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk. Just like I got saved, I said, I will. Now I'm supposed to walk that way. And I got saved by faith. I didn't see anything, but I followed him in salvation. Now I need to trust him in life. The just shall live by what? Faith. That's how I got saved, by faith. Huh? All Christians should make this positive decision. I will follow you. I will. Not just say it, do it. I will follow you. You are the master. I will follow you. It is a positive. It's not, and by the way, it's not, I guess. Oh, brother, if I have to, one of these days your eyes are going to get stuck up there. I'm going to talk to somebody and they're going to be like this. I'll say, I know. You don't have to explain. Number one, a personal declaration. Number two, a positive decision. Number three, it's a practical direction. Follow thee. It's so practical, honestly. I will follow thee. Well, he's the master. He's the Lord. He's God. Amen. I'll follow thee. We kind of get hard on those that are not saved. Like, what in the world are they? Why wouldn't they get saved? It is frustrating. Some Sundays, you know, I'll be preaching. I'll ask for a show of hands. If you're not sure you're saved, raise your hand. They'll raise it right up. And I'll think, they're going to come. Kathy's going to get them. You know, I mean, I'm all excited. I think they're going to get. And then they sit. Boy, and you watch them sweat. Sweat's pouring. And I think, that was me. You think, what is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with this lady? What is wrong with this teenager? Why aren't they getting saved? I often think, you know, the angels might be watching us some Sunday nights. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these Christians? They call him Lord. They call him Master. But they won't follow him. Honestly. It's a practical direction. It seems so, you know, salvation to you and I seems so obvious. Oh, you just bow your head, trust Christ as your Savior, get born again, ask Him to forgive your sins, He'll forgive your sins. Hallelujah, praise God, everybody ought to do it. And then we say, you know what? Hey, it just makes sense. He's the Lord, He's the Master, He knows everything, He's been there. Follow Him! Well, I... and we don't. Practical direction. I'll follow thee. I'll follow thee in salvation. I did that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that. I followed the Lord in salvation. Follow him, number two, in identification. What do you mean? I followed him in baptism. When somebody explained it to me, boy, it was tough getting baptized. That was a tough thing. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, I was a teenager, and I had real long, pretty hair, and nobody saw my hair wet. You say, oh, you're such a dummy. Well, it was something I struggled with. And finally, though, it was so odd. Wait a minute, if he's God, if he's Lord, if I'm going to trust my soul to him, what is the big deal about getting in water? I wore my light blue leisure suit when I got baptized, and it felt good. But more than anything else, I said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Boy, what a great day. What a wonderful day to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that preacher explained it, and I still explain it exactly the same way that Pastor Johnson explained it to me, how that it identifies with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You're not ashamed, are you, son? No, no. And the whole time I'm thinking, but my hair is going to get... Wait a minute, I'm not... No, no, no. And boy, when I stood in that water, and every time I baptize somebody, I think about that day. Wow, we get to identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I'm following him in identification. It's kind of like that wedding ring, kind of like that engagement ring, kind of like what we're identifying. It's like a military man puts on that uniform, who he's identifying with. Amen? That's what it's all about. But he's the master! We shouldn't be ashamed. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Oh, perish the thought. Why? Well, because you identify with Jesus. That's why. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He's not telling you to hate your family. He's not telling you to not take care of your responsibilities. What he is telling you is, follow me. And if they don't like it, follow me. And if they get mad, follow me. My dad said, I will disown you as my son. But my dad got saved. You say, what'd you do when he said that? I just kept following Jesus. Now, I didn't hate my dad. I wasn't against my dad. I didn't do anything to hurt. I wasn't trying to hurt my family. But I was following Jesus. By the way, you can trust him when you follow him. Amen. Identification. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. We live in a day, you know, Christians anymore, and please pardon me just a little bit here, because it ought to bother all of us. Christianity, it's too much. It looks like the world anymore. We're trying to be like them. We don't want to offend them. Hey, listen to me. Follow Jesus Christ. If you are walking with him, I promise you, the world's not going to like you. But we're not trying to impress the world. I'm just trying to follow him. Identification. I want to look like a Christian. I want to talk like a Christian. I want to act like a Christian. I want the world to know this guy, just like they did at Antioch, oh, he's one of those Christians. Amen. Follow him in salvation. Follow him in identification. Follow him in preparation. We've got a great little outline how Jesus prepared. Luke 2, verse 52. It's beautiful. It's one of those verses that we always read to children and young people. And we say, oh, this is wonderful. Hey, I apply it to my own life. Jesus increased. That's what we ought to be doing day in, day out. We ought to be increasing. Amen. Folks that are satisfied where they are, you got something wrong with you. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. But again, he's the master. Hey, master, how did you do it? Well, I got wisdom. How'd you do it? Well, I exercise them. How'd you do it? Well, I got walking with God and my Father, and I was in favor with my Father, and he's all grace, and he's got a lot of things to give. So I got in favor with my Father, that is God, and then I got in favor with man. I treated people right. By the way, you ought to treat unsaved people right. Just like Jonathan Blue preached last Sunday night, you know, he was talking about getting to know lost people and try to get to know them, take them out to eat, talk to them. Don't compromise. Don't drink a beer with them. Don't smoke with them. Don't cuss with them. Don't watch wicked shows with them. Show them Jesus Christ, but be friendly and be nice and never do them wrong. That's what Jesus said. He said, increase, grow. Well, you know, I'm where I'm supposed to. No, you're not. Grow. Amen. And he followed the Lord in salvation, in identification, in preparation, and then he followed him in duplication. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Amen. Duplication, follow his steps. Remember when we used to play follow the leader? Man, I'll tell you what, Boy Scouts, I remember playing follow the leader out in the woods. We had some times. I mean, you know, you had to cross these logs over creeks. And I mean, somebody always fell in. Always. Sometimes it was me. And you had to follow the leader, you know. And I've told the story about being the leader before. And you know, everybody, well, you know, I want to be the leader. Well, I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But, you know, the leader, I remember when I was a leader one time running through the woods, and I'm running through, and there's two trees close to each other. I thought, I'll run between those trees, and somebody will run into one. You're always hoping that'll happen. Now, God doesn't do that, praise the Lord. But I was running, and as I got closer, and I don't see real well, but as I got a little bit closer, I couldn't stop, and there's this great big web stretched out between the two trees. You know, webs between trees are never good. And when they're real big webs, you got to figure there's something big and hairy somewhere in there. And sure enough, soon it was on my face. You know? But that's why I like following him, because everything that's out there, those big hairy spiders and everything, it hits him first. Amen. I told the story about the canal down in by Gainesville, Florida, when my mom lived down there, and we were in a canoe, and we were going in this canal. It was a real narrow canal, and trees, big old nasty mossy kind of trees, were branched out over the water, and we were taking the canoe through there, and the sun was setting. It was going to be real pretty, and I was in the front of the canoe. And mom's one of her friends was back, and he was paddling the back, and he purposely put me in the front. And I mean, seriously, I have never seen so many webs cross, stretching from tree limb to tree limb across that canal. And those webs were huge, and they were green spiders. And I'm leading the way. Now, I got my oar, and I'm trying to, you know, and everybody's laughing. They say, oh, what are you afraid of? Like you guys with the bat. James, help me. But when they hiss, there's something about a bat hissing and those fangs, you know? Anyway, you know, just think of a mouse with wings, and it's scary. But you know, you go through that canal, and pretty soon, you know, you can't get them, and pretty soon there's green spiders all over my face. And you say, well, it would have been an improvement. Well, I don't know. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. That's it. Isn't that good? I'm so glad he leads the way. I'm so glad all I have to do is follow. We make it so complicated. You know why you're in a mess today? Because you didn't follow him. Amen. You say, well, I'm in quicksand. Well, if he led the way, he's there too. Hello. I mean, seriously. Amen. Some of you wake up. This would be pretty good if you'd hear me. I mean, all I have to do is follow. Yeah, follow. Follow him. It is a preferable direction. For me, it is nice to follow. It's nice to be able to follow him in life. He's already been there. Everything. I got some things going on. He's already been there. You have things going on. He's already been there. Just follow him. Just follow him. And if you're really following him, if you're in a valley, guess what? He's there too. Because you followed him. Amen. Amen. Most of us, the problems we have today, a lot of our problems today, seriously, we didn't follow him. That's why we're in trouble. Number one, it's a personal declaration. Number two, it's a positive decision. Number three, it is a preferable direction. Following him in salvation, in identification, in preparation, in duplication. Number four, it is a predictable dedication. It is a predictable dedication. What do you mean? I mean, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Whithersoever thou goest. There's a dedication there. Okay, wherever you go, that's where I'm going. Now, this guy, this scribe, he's a smart man. Because I think he saw, or at least heard about, most, if not all, of those previous miracles. And he thought, woohoo! Ha! Man, I'm going to go with a guy like this. This is going to be good. Right? But you do need to understand, Jesus made himself very, very clear. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Ugh. You have to understand, folks, that, and by the way, this is the first New Testament use of the word Son of Man. That's referring to Jesus' humanity. And what he's saying to this scribe is, if you're going to follow me humanly anyway, you're going to become uncomfortable. Do you understand why we don't follow Jesus? Most of the reason is right there. Because it's uncomfortable. Do you know how uncomfortable Bible college was for my wife and I? Because we had already been married, already had a house, already had a new car. You know, we had good jobs. Both of us had very, it was very uncomfortable. And Jesus was just saying to follow. Now, to be honest with you, I mean, there were times that was tough on my flesh, but I'm just saying, there was never a question about, we said we'd do this, we're going to do this. Most religious organizations today and so many Christians today, it's kind of like, hey, no struggles, no suffering. Everything is one big, fun, worldly party. Not if you're following Jesus. I'm not saying we can't have fun. We have fun. We have a lot of fun. We have more fun. I can out-fun anybody doing right. Amen. I haven't been to a wrong party in years. I haven't been to a wrong, any kind of get-together in a long, long, long time. I think the last time was our last deacon's meeting. But I'm just about done. Seriously, to follow. Jesus is saying this. He said, in the Bible record, the Son of Man, no place to even lay my head. To follow Jesus, there's a dedication there. It's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes you're going to get the door slammed in your face. Sometimes somebody's going to cuss you out. Sometimes people are going to be mad at you. People aren't going to understand you. I tell people this all the time. When it refers to within our house here, you know, they didn't. They would never hurt you. Yeah, but they did. But they didn't mean to. You got to understand. Sometimes it's just we're dealing with people, and we're all sinners, and it's just sometimes it's uncomfortable. Wait a minute, why would we, again, it's a predictable dedication because the Bible says about Jesus, he came unto his own and his own received him not. If anybody would receive you, it'd be your own, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be your family? Wouldn't it be the loved ones? Wouldn't it be people that know you? But the Bible says about Jesus, his own wanted nothing to do with him. We shouldn't be shocked. Over and over, the Bible tells us, count the cost. Follow him. Him who, the Bible says, was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Acquainted with grief. You say, I'll follow him. And Jesus said, okay, sir, I'd like to introduce you to grief. I'd like you to become acquainted with grief, because if you follow me, there's going to be grief. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. I don't have a place to lay my head, Jesus said. The man said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 21, another of his disciples, all of a sudden now everybody's kind of thinking through this. He said to him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said, no. He said, I know you'd like to do that, but follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. You have to go on. There were times on an altar, I'm sure Tim experienced this, I'm sure Brother Chase experienced this, maybe Matt did at one time or another. Some of our ladies that went to Bible college perhaps did. I'm sure that James did. Muriel, maybe. I don't know. Where you got on an altar and you recognize and you realize, you know, God may put me in another country. God may put me somewhere where I'll say goodbye to my family and not see them for 4 years, and maybe every 4 years. The Koreans know what that's all about. They've gone through all that. They had to go through that. They had to think about that at one time or another. You see, it's just not always comfortable. Jesus said, you know, you may not be able to bury your father, but follow me. It's going to be okay. Whithersoever thou goest. When I made this decision, no one in my family, my parents, my grandparents, neither were saved. They wanted nothing to do with it at all. They were not excited about, number one, me getting saved. They were definitely not excited about me getting baptized. And when I announced that God called me to preach, the people in the church were thrilled and rejoicing, and my parents just shook their heads. My grandparents didn't even want to talk about it. There were a lot of difficult times. You've heard many of them when I'm preaching. But I can tell you this tonight, every one of them are in heaven tonight. All of them trusted Christ as their Savior. To be honest with you, I didn't lead any of them to the Lord. Well, what'd you do, preacher? I just followed him. Amen. And then he took care of that. That's all I did, is just follow him. Number one, it's a personal declaration. Number two, it's a positive decision. Number three, it's a preferable direction. Number four, it's a predictable dedication. And the last thing, number five, it's a profitable destination. Where he is where you need to be. Where he leads is where you need to be. Where he says to go is where you need to go, and nowhere else. I'm not talking about just heaven. I'm talking about every day. I'm talking about every week. I'm talking about every month. I close with Matthew 12 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 12. That is not the verse that I wanted. It is good, but it's not the verse that I wanted. But it's what I wrote down. That's not my verse. It is a profitable destination. I'm looking. I don't know why that's not my verse. Well, I know why it's not my verse, because I wrote the wrong one down. I can tell you this, that every day, I hear others are trying to find you have no idea what I'm looking for. In the end of every day, it's great to lay your head on your pillow and say, I followed you, Lord. I followed you today. I followed you throughout the day. Oh, I tripped and I fell along the way, and I messed up a couple times. But right afterwards, God, you know I made it right with you. And boy, you sleep a whole lot better, don't you? Yeah, at the end of the year, it's a whole lot better when you know, well, we went through some valleys. We had some tough things. You know, last year, we had some tough times, folks. We honestly did. And this roof thing and all the mess. And I think about all the stuff. But it's so wonderful to be able to say, well, I just followed the Lord. Amen. Okay, well, but what about this happened and that happened? And boy, this was bad and that was... Well, there's going to be bad when you follow the Lord. There's going to be bad. You know, everybody here, we can testify. There's testimony after testimony here where a lot of bad things happen. But it is never, never, never bad to follow the Master, the Lord. He knows what he's doing. Follow him. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.